now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. A lot of these people that have all these abilities, who have celestial star ancestry, they're operating not only throughout this cosmos, but in higher planes, and they're working against the Draco Empire. The photonic energy and the cosmic rays will activate our higher centers. And it's incumbent upon us to ride that frequency wave.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you are listening to the Cosmic Switchboard. Today, my very special guest is Jolene Seebacher. Jolene Seebacher is a spiritual life journeys teacher. She's a certified licensed spiritual counselor and specializes in helping targeted individuals, program project survivors, experiencers, including experiencers of the love bite, satanic ritual abuse victims, and the newly awakened. Born with her enhanced supernatural abilities, Jolene Seebacher is also a survivor herself of Black Ops military programming. She worked with Sandoz Pharmaceutical and military government as a remote viewer, psychic analyst, and a spy under several missions, specifically in the Gulf War. Jolene is a survivor of satanic ritual abuse and horrible torture and testing throughout her young life. She has triumphed over this and has learned how to deprogram and reprogram, also teaching people their own supernatural development and enhancement. Jojo Seebacher specializes in psychic self-defense for all types of targeted individuals, helping thousands worldwide for almost 14 years. She also teaches and facilitates private groups teaching energy mastery and many more subjects on ancient history, including etymology and the occult. Jolene Jojo Seebacher is the founder of the Soul Healing Modality, and she has written several books on soul healing. So without any further ado, Jolene Seebacher, how are you?
I'm fine, James. Thank you for having me tonight.
The pleasure is all ours. This is a show I've been looking forward to for some time now. For the benefit of our listeners, Jolene, could you tell our listeners a bit about your background and what you'd gone through, and then how that was a catalyst for you to do the very critical work you're doing now?
I was enhanced in my mother's womb, and when I was born, I was enhanced further. I was given thousands of injections in my early, early years and medicated through these injections and taken to my father's business called Sandoz Pharmaceuticals. He was not a laboratory technician or anything. He worked in the food service industry, but he had worked for that pharmaceutical company where some of the Project Paperclip scientists were working and later became Brookhaven Labs. So during my childhood there, I underwent terrible torture, terrible trauma, and then testing in that order. Torture, trauma, testing. Torture, trauma, testing. My siblings got other treatment while I was delivered to these private classes and literally tortured, thrown in rooms, waterboarded, frozen, sweated out, horribly sexually abused, and then tested. And this was redundant. I've tried throughout my entire childhood into my teenage years. It's hard for me to talk about, but I tried terribly to tell any adult I could of the horrible torture that was happening to me. My memories have always been real. I've carried them with me. I've gone to many, many adults for help. I've been declined. The adults that I've gone to help for were part of the pedophile rings and these organizations, and there were a lot of wealthy people involved, and teachers and doctors. The doctors that were giving me injections were involved with the school teachers, the gymnastic coaches. I was being trained for Olympian gymnast in my latter, you know, early to latter years. You know, I had been programmed to do some remote viewing and spy work in my latter years. What I've talked about in other interviews is they sort of overtrained me. I got to a point where I could trick my handlers. I could trick the programmers, trick the people that were trying to alter me out. So more and more of my missions were, you know, identifiable. what made me triumph over it is the type of psychic that I am, and I was born as very, very young in my three-year-old life. I remember vividly I could understand foreign language. I could hear people's thoughts. I could hear their feelings. And I could hear this other little voice that I just used to call the God sound and the soul, and later learned it was the soul, or this, what some people call the spirit, depending on who you're learning from. So I was a terrific spy because I could understand lies. I could understand if a target on my mission were telling something out of its mouth or his mouth or her mouth and didn't match what was in their thoughts or heart and soul. Made me an excellent spy. I could understand secrets and lies very, very easily in the interrogation process. And without going into how that worked, it was very kind of ugly and seedy and had to use my sexuality, and it was very difficult to work through some of the missions with the interrogation. But I also had done some remote viewing very, very young, all the way throughout my 20s, and I had a handler over in Brussels at the time during the Gulf War, into my 20s and part of my early, early 30s. But I always had this tenacity to sort of trick them towards the latter part of my years, the 20s and the 30s, where I worked for them. The remote viewing I did for the super soldiers over there, the physical super soldiers, not the type that is on this truth media circuit that are psychic super soldiers or astral super soldiers. I did the remote viewing for the real Navy SEALs, those real built super men that are trained voraciously in their physical bodies. I was their eyes, ears, and minds on their mission. So they would have an identifiable target, and I would remote view similarly through the technologies that they have today where, you know, there's vision work through a person's eyeball. So it's sort of like remote viewing for those true Navy SEALs and Marines over in the Gulf War. My handler was over in Brussels at the time in my mid to late 20s, and I think I'm getting a little scattered here, but that's the type of work I did. The psychic analyst, the spy work, and the remote viewer is just all kind of compromised throughout my life, you know, through early childhood to early 30s. The sexual abuse had been a part of it up until my late teenage years. The satanic ritual abuse was throughout my entire grade school and high school level. So I'm a survivor of that, and they do need to use satanic ritual abuse in these programs and projects, especially in the time travel area where I had a different handler. In that specific thing, I rarely talk about that side of my life. I don't want to expose it too much because I could have my life put in danger. My handler is a very famous person, and I don't want to talk about the time travel part of my career, if that's okay.
Yeah, just share whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah, so when I was over, there was an aspect of something called the Montauk Boys. There was something called the Plum Island Girls. And I'm not going to speak a lot about it, but that's where a lot of the ritual that I physically witnessed, not only witnessed, but was made to participate in while I was strapped down to these chairs. And with the ritual abuse, the magic, the black magic that is imbued for these time portals or gates or bridges or expansion, anything needed to have black magic and serious satanic ritual abuse. A lot of brutality. I have a very, very difficult time talking about my experiences because I'm here today not to talk about them, James. I'm here to talk about my triumphing, my survival, my deprogramming, my reprogramming, and how I did this by myself because they built me so well. I think they overbuilt me. They built me too smart. They built me smart enough where I could manipulate them and break free and now help thousands of people.
Can you tell us the process of when you started to detach from that control system and the process of reintegration and a helper of others to heal themselves?
Well, as a young child into my teenage years, I was very, very quiet and very, very shy from going from adult to adult. And finding out that they were all part of the same rings. No matter what hometown my father brought us into, he was still with Sandoz Pharmaceuticals. So no matter whom I went to for help, they were all part of the ring and identifiable with one another. In fact, from city to city, I'd see the same faces. I tried to write a book about it, and I had that book stolen last October 13th. But what made me identify was, I would have to say around 11th grade, something in me pushed to a level, but then I had gotten married very, very young at age 17 to my first handler, and he was with RCA Records. So I had the tenacity to kind of push through, but then I was taken over again for programming when I was with RCA Records into my teenage years. I left home at 16 with my husband-to-be. I married at 17, went to California. By the way, I lived four blocks down from Max Spears and Vanessa Bates and that family. I did not know them at the time, involved in RCA Records. When I got home, back to Pennsylvania from California, I had wanted to leave my husband. It was very vicious over with RCA Records. There was NASA involvement. There were some Hollywood producers involved. There was a lot of black magic ritual involved, and there was a lot of missing time when I was in California. So my pretense, before I had met my first husband, I was ready to just sort of start screaming loud. And then I was handled, of course, in the RCA Records, and that lasted into my mid-20s. I had gotten pregnant with my daughter. I have experienced some my lab sort of things. I refuse to talk about that. I will only talk about that privately. But with RCA Records, when I broke free from that handler and all of the demonic things that were going on in the record industry and these parties and these producers and NASA personnel and just an array of Hollywood elites and money elites, I came home back to the Poconos, and that's when I really began the deprogramming process and stuck my nose into research and self-healing. And I stress self-healing. That lasted throughout my 20s into my 30s, and I met my second husband. I became a world-class Northern Shaolin martial artist with Qina training on top of it. So I was a deadly martial artist, and I got handled again in my second marriage. I was a very, very emotionally abusive and physically abusive, even sexually abusive marriage. So by the time I was ready to really kick ass, so to speak, I got handled again, James. So I survived that marriage, broke free, and was really shining, really centered in my soul, had worked through the altars, you know, done so much research, and boom, I'm in the New Age movement. And the story, just a quick synopsis, is I became very, very famous, very, very fast on MySpace. I was asked by MTV to participate on a program called Psychic Wars, and I started bucking the New Age system on MySpace, and I sort of was famous for that as well. I'm one of the only psychics in the world that can read souls as well as minds and feelings, so I'm very definitively unique from normal psychics. And during the process of New Age movement, I learned the most I've ever learned in my life against that system and stuck my nose in so much ancient history and etymology, and I mean, you name it, I read it. I've been a researcher since I've been age 8 years old, so research was something I loved to do, loved to read, still do to this day, and I had this enormous amount of wisdom and knowledge, and I began counseling. So I started working on helping these New Cage people, and it's so funny because I hear Cameron Day, who is also an energy master, talk about the New Cage, and I was saying New Cage back, you know, 16 years ago, so I was literally fighting against the false light New Cage system 16 years ago and helping awakened people learn self-healing and what I call psychic soul counseling at the time, created the soul healing modality. that book was stolen back then, and two women today are prospering off of my work on the soul healing modality. And I've had my destiny robbed throughout my life, James. So it's been an on and off triumphant thing, fighting and triumphing, fighting and triumphing, fighting, losing and triumphing. Let's insert losing in there. So I've, you know, I've had quite an extensive background, lots and lots of knowledge and wisdom attached to it, lots and lots of experiences, because I've been involved in so many programs and projects and types of programs and projects, and because of the abilities I have that are enhanced, drove me to self-heal even better, because I am so connected to my soul self, my God source soul self, and it makes me the great counselor and teacher I am today. I'm no healer. I don't advocate healers. I advocate self-healing and the development, enhancement, and implementation of one's supernatural abilities, because we all have them.
In your work, you talk about psychic self-defense, and you also talk about an original soul code, genetics. Do you want to go into that?
Psychic self-defense, I have deemed this terminology that I'm writing a book on right now called Psy Self-Defense, P-S-Y, as in energy, psychic energy. We are fighting an energetic war, a spiritual war. So I have developed writing a book right now on what's called Psy Self-Defense and Protection Techniques. Now, this book is well-rounded. It has help for targeted individuals, experiencers, including experiencers of the love bite, B-I-T-E or B-Y-T-E. It has help for satanic ritually abused people, including DID victims. It has help for program project survivors and victims. And it has help for the newly awakened. So with soul code genetics, because targeted individuals have their destinies robbed, I teach a person not only how to come back and fight some of these technologies and, you know, whatever. I mean, everybody's different, James. It's such a personal journey for these targeted individuals. Some of the stories are heartbreaking and horrendous. So it's a very personalized thing. But when your destinies are robbed, your soul code genetics kind of get screwed up, with especially me lab or my lab victims. Their genetics get messed up. We train ourselves to think negatively. We even are very narcissistic to our own minds, especially with the targeted individuals. They get stuck in mind patterns and mind thoughts, which create some kind of objection to the natural soul code genetics. So I teach how to reprogram to the original soul code genetics with simple and effective, very free techniques, self-healing techniques, to reprogram back to your soul code genetics to obtain your soul's destiny. No matter how much you're targeted, you can supersede over the targeting and still continue to receive your soul's destiny. So that's kind of what I'm teaching right now, amongst many things.
And you also have a term that you utilize called foundations. Could you describe what foundations are?
I've been counseling. This is my 14th year, and many, many people come and they're awakened. Every single client I've had come to me that has been awakened, except for I do a private thing with some women's resource groups when I help battered and emotionally battered women, but that's aside the point. Every single person who is awakened has come to me for counseling and knows nothing about foundation work. So why everybody's out there learning and getting their lives shattered when they're discovering these lies that they've been told their entire lives, and, you know, some of us are 50 years old, it's 5 decades of lies, you hear these truths, it shatters you, and they go on and go learn something else and something else, and by the time, you know, 2 years have passed, they're completely a wreck, they're depressed, their lives are falling apart, they're emotionally damaged and wrecked. So nobody understands foundation work, why you're learning all of these things, including the people that are out there healing others, have no foundation work to them. They know nothing about energy cleansing systems. They know nothing about the simplicity of blessing yourself, the simplicity about using water. and breathing techniques, including meditation, and all part of something called energy mastery or energy clearing systems. Everything from grounding to purging to reclaiming to getting refunds to shielding. And, you know, 90% of newly awakened and healers are not cleaning their energy as foundation. Yet they're out there healing others and, you know, messing with each other's energy fields and auratic fields and frequencies. And, you know, this is genetic stuff, guys. If you don't know foundation and you're healing somebody's auratic layers or ripping demons out of somebody, you're messing with their genetics. You're messing with their frequencies that create their mitochondrial DNA at the soul code level. So foundation work, James, is simply energy clearing. And that's an array of steps from grounding to clearing to several steps involved before you get to shielding, before you get to working on yourself. We have thousands and thousands of healers out there that are the most imbalanced, you know, egotistical, irrational, emotionally imbalanced people. Nobody's doing self-alchemy. That is another foundation aside from energy mastery. It is probably the foundation to learn before energy mastery. If you don't know self-alchemy or have the opportunity to even desire to work on everything in yourself before you go work on somebody else, you're getting a whole bunch of audience coming to that healer, and that audience does not know that that healer didn't do any inner alchemy or no energy mastery or no foundation work. So it's really, really scary out there. I've been screaming this for 16 years. I'm glad people are finally listening.
Yes, I've found that in my work also, that there are patently unhealed people that are presuming to heal others, and they wind up triggering the hell out of a lot of people and triggering anxiety attacks, triggering panic attacks, even triggering suicide programming in some of them. So it's important that people heal themselves first before they would presume to heal and help others. Could you go into what you describe as inner alchemy? What do you mean by that?
Inner alchemy is, you know, it comes in so many ways, shapes, and forms, but I learned it the ancient way, the ancient alchemy. It's all about mentalism. It's all about learning your mind control, your own self-control through mentalism. And, you know, I don't specifically teach the ancient alchemy. I make all of my teachings very, very fun and very, very light. There is a really great master that I respect very, very highly who teaches the ancient alchemy. His name is Sethicus Boza. I plug him often. He's a very, very intense man, a very serious guy. I do not send anybody who is not willing to get their butt whooped to that man, but it is a system of mentalism. It's learning about the Sephs and the Tree of Life, all of the ancient things that you need to learn to master oneself. It's about the Philosopher's Stone. It's about changing metal into gold. And that metal is a metaphor for your non-constructive behavior, your negative behavior, creating those negative traits and making them your positive strength instead of your negative non-constructive patterns. That is what alchemy is about, and everybody who's healing others needs to learn it. Not only the healers, but the people that are coming to get healing need to understand inner alchemy is just simple learning yourself. And we keep going back to the self, James. The clientele that ends up coming my way have gone from healer to healer to healer to Reiki master to this energy master to, you know, this energy modality. Somebody's working on their energy, let alone the other 50% of the clientele that comes to me are going all over to people that are pretending to be life regressionists or memory regressionists that have no training. And I get these damaged people who think they're program project survivors and have absolutely not one characteristic of a program project survivor. You know, when I am talking to somebody about healing, self-healing, I introduce myself, I tell them my background, I tell them my education, I tell them how I do things, how I've learned the things, and I give them non-disclosure clauses and my ethical agreement clauses. You know, I hear some of, you know, probably 90% of my clientele have all told me not one healer has given one ethical disclosure clause to any of them. Half the other clientele are telling me, you know, this person told me I had this memory. This person told me I was this victim. This person told me I was, you know, a MELAB, or I was a hybrid, or I'm this, or I, you know, was a super soldier. I'm getting some really messed up people that aren't even project survivors. I get targeted individuals, but even those people are going to the wrong people and being imposed. You know, they go from normal living people, and then all of a sudden they're, you know, program project survivors. So we're in a lot of trouble right now out there in the healing world. I want to teach self-healing, self-change, inner change. In fact, Seth Kisboza says the same word I do. We call it inner standing instead of understanding. It's all about the inner self, inner work, inner healing. And in all of this, James, when you inner stand yourself, when you do inner alchemy, when you learn these levels of energy clearing and foundations, you automatically awaken. You automatically increase your supernatural abilities. You increase your heart strength. You increase your soul code genetics. There's benefits to this where you don't need to go to healers.
There's so many outright frauds and charlatans out there that charge a lot of money, and they leave people in even worse shape before they came to these frauds. One of the facets of your work involves something you call energy mastery. Could you talk a bit about the different facets of energy mastery and how it can benefit individuals?
Most certainly. This is something I speak on implicitly, and I have lived it for over two decades. I have taught it since 16 years now. I have counseled and taught it professionally for the last, this is my 14th year. Energy mastery is a learned thing, level by level. It enables you to, let me back up a little bit. We have people out there contacting extraterrestrials. We have people having interface with Pleiadians and Arcturians all over the place and, you know, speaking publicly about their, you know, interface with these beings, and they're loving and beautiful, and none of these people are doing any form of energy clearing. You know, a year down the road, they might have car accidents, they might lose their marriage, families are fighting, they lose their finances, they lose their job. And it's not from targeting, by the way. It's from that interface you had with that beautiful, you know, quote-unquote beautiful being, and interface with these beings, and you are now polluted with demons and tech and AI and all kinds of weaponry in you, and it is not technically targeted, but it is the experience that you had with those beings, more so, is less tech. But with them offering you intercession, when you go and board the Arcturian ship and they're all helping you, you know, get your job and get your career, you have to pay that back, James. You have to pay that back with a car accident or losing your wife or your job or your whole life gets destroyed. And they don't want to admit this. You know, people are still using angelic help, ascended master help, guide help. You know, people are trusting these extraterrestrial beings, these angelic beings, these guides, more than they're trusting their own selves. They can't live without their guides or intercession with these Pleiadians or Arcturians or, you know, whatever the kick they're on. And years later, you know, they go and have some major catastrophe happen. Could be life-altering, could be injurious to your physical body. And they will not put one and one together, that they have to pay that back. Because that being is not a good being. It may seem good. It may seem beautiful. It will even help you. But I guarantee every famous person throughout our history who has intercession with these beings, from Moses to Tesla to Mark Twain to Rasputin, they've all had to pay it back. So I teach the self. And I hope I didn't deviate from the question, because I don't even remember what the question was, Jay.
Oh, it was about energy mastery. But yeah, you're making a valuable point, because okay, a lot of these people channel as so-called ascended masters, and they literally take that energy signature on board.
Yeah, so what I'm actually, thank you for reminding me, the channeling. So they're astral projecting, they're channeling, they're even doing mediumship readings for somebody's dead loved ones. and they know no energy mastery. For energy mastery, there are many, many steps. And I'll just give you a brief synopsis of some of the brief steps. So the first one would be to learn breathing, very specific breathing. And it's done with the dantian or the tummy, the solar plexus. And you have to master that. And then you step into what's called your sovereignty, claiming your sovereignty. And I am a very ancient running girl. I like to use ancient systems, but apply to the self. So I ritually rhyme everything. And I claim my sovereignty with a rhyme, something similar to, you know, I name my name and I say, I am sovereign. I am free. I own my own energy. I am sovereign. I am free. Only I can govern me. That is the first step. The second step would be connecting into your, what I deem the terminology, God source, soul self. And that is done through a imagination meditation, which I teach the meditation to my clients and students. That would be the second part of this simple synopsis that I'm giving you. The third step would be, you know, once you have interfaced with these beings, or you just go did a mediumship or even a tarot card reading, even getting on and off a phone, James, in and out of a store. So the third thing you do is cleanse the energy. You purge it. When you purge back somebody's energy, say you just had a fight on Facebook with trolls, you want
yes.
You want to send that energy back. You want that washed off of you, do you not? You don't want their energy
yes.
clinging to you or your family or your beautiful loved ones, your pets even. So you send their energy back to their God source soul self. If you send it back to them in a thought, if you send it back to them in a feeling, you're going to create a psychic war. Cameron Day speaks about this very eloquently, very simply. So you send their energy back to their God source soul self. He tells you to send it back to their heart center. I disagree. I've seen too many disruptions with that. So I send it back to the God source center. Another simple step would be to go reclaim what you put out to that person. So let's say you're in this troll fight and you're sending out these negative thoughts like that son of a bee, or I can't believe that idiot did that. And you just sent them some negative thought form, some demonic attachments. So you want to reclaim that back, that energy back to your God source soul self, where you will deal with it at a latter time or right then and there. Then there's this process called working with the ego. Sometimes you have to minimize the ego. Sometimes you have to expand the ego. It's similar to, and again, I'm going to reference Cameron Day. It's similar to like having a bunch of windows open on a computer where you have to minimize or expand the window to see what you need. The next step would be something I call getting a refund, and that is taking back what that person took from you. So I just went through 18 hours of pure hell. I took that back from what she took from me and, you know, did all of these steps. I'm continuing to breathe. I'm continuing to claim my sovereignty. I'm continuing to stay in my God source soul self center. And, you know, I'm not going to repeat, I'm not going to go into all of the steps, but you end it with shielding yourself, creating an energetic shield with your magical consciousness, your imagination, your imagination, your magical consciousness. So I am doing this energy system every single day from morning until I lay my head down at night before I go to sleep. I want to wash my energy before I go to sleep. I want to protect it. I want to claim my sovereignty. Before I go in and out of a supermarket, on and off Facebook, in and out of a, you know, even a holiday dinner, you know how families fight on holiday dinners, you cleanse your energy, protect yourself. This is foundation stuff, James. And this is very, very important to people that channel and have interface. They're doing none of this, and they're wondering why their lives are falling apart. But that creature did something beautiful to them, so I'm just going to continue on with them, and they think nothing to wash their energy. Do you not brush your teeth, wash your hands, wash your food, wash your clothes, wash your children, wash your house? Why are we not washing our energy?
That's a very good point. I've seen it myself where many people in the holistic community, many mediums, many healers, they wind up becoming ill. They wind up becoming very sick. Some of them even die because they've taken so much negative energy on board and it never occurred to them. I mean, they may cleanse and wash their crystals, but they won't do that for themselves, and they wind up paying the price for it.
Yes, yeah, so true. You know, since I've been a kid, I've been a master in kinesiology and PK and all that kind of stuff. With kinesis work, it will destroy you physically. I mean, if you don't have an energy system, you will. There's an old woman, a Russian woman from the 20s, I forget her name, begins with a K. You know, she used to do these extraordinary things, levitating balls and moving cigarettes on tables or pens. It would take her about 4 hours to warm up, and then she could move anything. But this woman would be sick for months. I mean, down and ill with headaches and severely sick. So we wonder why, you know, we're sick a lot. It has a lot to do with demonic attachments, energetic attachments of others, our loved ones, their demons. You know, these are all lineage demons and that get along really great with one another and love to cling to the human being, the energy force fields of the human being. You know, there's so much energy to feed off of a human that too many people are missing this very, very valuable, very, very simple, effective system. And not only is it effective, but it also manifests for me, James. You know, I've had a tooth pulled, a three-hour surgery that was planned that took under 15 minutes. You know, I've had people treat me terribly, and I've done the system in my mind, and just as I'm literally getting done with the last statement, they apologize. I just went through an 18-hour ordeal with a person that was going to be a possible roommate with me. I mean, it was vicious, and there were police and attorneys called today. It was so horrific what I went through. And I sat and I spent about a good 2 hours on it, on this system, you know, really thoroughly doing this system. The minute I got done, my phone rang and there was intercession for me. This is very provable stuff. I'm living, walking, talking proof. On Tuesday I was telling a story. You know, I was literally heading for a shelter, a homeless shelter in June. Almost ready to buy my own home, and here it is almost 5 months later, and just, you know, doing these systems because they work, and they're free, and they're done by the self with no intercession but the self and the God source that lives in us.
You do another modality called a psychic analysis reading. Can you describe what that is, Jolene?
Yes, being trained as a psychic and being enhanced in my mother's womb and being enhanced with all of these injections, I became a psychic analyst for the military. I can read pictures. I offer these services worldwide to people. I read pictures. Anybody can send me pictures of couples or if they're uncertain about a certain individual. I will not read self pictures. I do recommend a phone time session work for self readings. It's the only thing that's off limits because it's too intertwined, it's too involved, it's too detailed. So I occasionally run specials on Facebook where I'll do psychic analysis readings or psychic soul readings. And I literally analyze the energy, been very definitively detailed about what I'm reading. I think I have about 400 new feedback posts on my website. It's a kind of an older website, but there, you know, I have good feedback all the time, and I've been doing it solidly for, I don't know, 30, 40 years, you know, long, long time. It's what brought me onto MTV, actually, and the MySpace fame. So the psychic analysis readings are literally analyzing every aspect of that person's energy and behavior and idiosyncrasies and sometimes even like just sometimes I can feel like family attachments or, you know, sometimes cheating boyfriends, honestly. It's been a few cheating boyfriends in there, including some cheating wives. So there's both ways there. That's what psychic analysis is. And I've not personally met, but I've only heard the term used once in my lifetime, aside from myself. I was mentioning it the other day, a woman named Aurelia. I cannot pronounce her last name, but she happens to be the identical type of program Project Survivor as myself. She's a psychic analyst, a remote viewer, and a spy herself. The only one in the world I've ever heard use that term, psychic analyst. So very military trained to be a psychic analyst. It's taken a lot of extensive training. It's beyond being certified master psychic. This is definitively military-run psychic analysis.
Was it intended to find out the behaviors, the patterns, the energies working through a person of interest, let's say, that you were tasked with finding out about?
Yes, everything, including its partnerships, its affiliates, where they were, what locations they were worldwide, or if they, you know, were someplace they shouldn't have been that they said they weren't there. Very, very detailed analysis. I mean, we are analysts here. You know, like a behavioral analysis person in the FBI, those criminal-type social behavioral analysis type people, it's very much like that, but it's more detailed. You have, it's literally like a map to the person. You are literally mapping that person's experiences, places they've been, and their affiliates associated, including their locations they've been at. So it's quite extensive. It's extreme training for it.
Well, was it something that can be adapted to institutions? Like if you wanted to find out about a corporation or a business or a rival agency, or was it something that had to be organic?
Both. I wrote that book about my life story, trying to expose the pedophile rings across the towns I've lived growing up. And that was stolen last year. I had also written another book, James, the same time I was writing these two books. The other book was on psychic development, enhancement, and implementation of all the abilities. I mean, there's hundreds of abilities a human being owns. So I was writing about how to develop each ability, how to enhance it, and how to implement it. And that book was stolen as well. I had an in-home robbery where there were police here. There was an open window and a stool outside and a policeman here. Those two books and my flash drives and my hard drives were wiped. Everything was gone except the TVs, the jewelry, and everything else remained here. So it was I was quite a laughingstock to the policeman. The book had gotten stolen, I believe, by the corporate industry. I'm not quite certain if it was government related. I'm sure it had its hands in it as well. I felt very much robbed that they were taking my information and using it for themselves. I mean, these men and a few women trained me so well to write, you know, an extensive, almost novel on how to do this per type of ability. And when the book was stolen, I felt it was being used on corporate espionage. I felt it was being used in government espionage. It was being implemented in ways that are deceitful and not helpful, like I intended it to be. You know, I've had three books stolen in my lifetime. Three books. I'm working on this Psi self-defense book. I hope it goes nowhere. I hope I get to get it out.
The reprogramming and the deprogramming you referred to, can you describe what you mean by reprogram?
Oh, wow, that's a big question, because there's so many different types to deprogramming and reprogramming. It depends on what type of person you are. If you're just a regular target, and I don't mean to minimize it, but very big difference between a targeted individual who has been a whistleblower versus a program project survivor versus a satanic ritually abused individual versus a sexually abused individual like a monarch sex slave versus somebody with DID. So programming is a very, very extensive word when you attach the D and the RE to it. Deprogramming and reprogramming is different for each type of those different types of people. It is something that I can teach people sort of the same. It's extremely personalized. I do not work with DID victims. I do send them out to two very high respected women I trust implicitly. I'll match the person to either one of the women, depending on their character and personality. But it's done with a lot of self-talk, James. It's as simple as done with a lot of self-talk and using different types of brain waves via the YouTube, which is a wonderful library, access to hundreds of thousands of different types of frequency tones and music beta waves and alpha waves and delta waves and everything. So it's per person, it's per type. And we do a lot of self-talk and do a lot of different binaural beats and brainwave, a lot of different types of brainwaves, depending on how we're working with self-talk. We want to hear the self-talk out loud so our own ears hear it. And when our ears hear it in our own verbiage, in our own tone of our voice creates a frequency and it feeds the neurons. The neurons create a peptide chemical. That chemical goes and it feeds every single cell in the body, and it tells the cell what the cell want, what it wants the cell to be. So if you have a targeted individual versus a satanic, ritually abused person, they're going to do different types of self-talk, and their brain waves have told their cells, you know, for depending on how old they are, they've programmed themselves to be that type of victim, to be that type of mistreated person. And with us telling ourselves these narcissistic, horrible things that we've learned and been abused by, our cells then adapt to that thought form, to that frequency, to that peptide, to that chemical. And our lives and experiences are reactionary of the body, of the cells. I missed something in there too. The cells actually work the DNA in a human being at the mitochondrial level. So if you've got a ritually abused girl, you know, who's 20 years old, it's 20 years of sexual ritual abuse programmed into her cells, and her life experiences are emulating from the frequency she's emitting from her body. So she has, you know, somebody that's continuing to rape her, for instance, or has demons visit her often because she's programmed herself that way, with that abuse, of course, but with her own thought patterns that had created that peptide that has taught the cell what it wants it to be, what it wants it to radiate in its frequency. And the life events respond per our frequency that we're emitting. So a targeted individual is much easier to deprogram and reprogram than a satanic, ritually abused girl, because the dynamics involved and the amount of abuse that's involved and how much damage that person's done to themselves with their own thought process for that amount of years.
Too many people out there, they have this one-size-fits-all approach where they feel they have this useful healing modality and they welcome all comers. Targeted individuals, My Labs, Monarchs, they seem to lump them all together in one boat and utilize the same techniques and methods on all of them, and that's a recipe for disaster. Because, like, for example, an SRA survivor may have had, during the course of his or her abuse, literal demons sewn into them through these rituals. So how does someone that is only working a type of a reintegrative approach that deals with self-healing and deals with self-esteem issues going to deal with something like that if there's literally demons that are thwarting that very person, changing their thought patterns and conduct all kinds of self-sabotage? It's a recipe for disaster is what it is.
It is a recipe for disaster, and I get a lot of these people in that have gone everywhere to get help and have come back worse. So with my counseling, I start with a four-hour, what I call phone time session work. I spend 4 hours with that person. It costs a mere $65 for 4 hours. It's very, very obtainable and reasonable. And we are really working on a personal level. I begin asking each client a series of 55 questions to sort of not only collect data, but to ascertain the level of abuse they're at and where they fit within those categories of TI, experiencer, MeLab, Monarch. I don't definitively name, you know, oh, you've been involved in project this or project that. No, we can sort of classify whether they're super soldiery, you know, time travelers, abductees, anything. So we work on a one-to-one basis, and then I sort of create, I don't know, for lack of a better word, they're like prescriptions, but they are combinations so unique to each individual, whether somebody has to listen to frequency tones, do something that I deem as peptide pep talk, along with counseling. Counseling is very, very important, James, in all of this healing. So each person is worked with one-on-one at four-hour intervals. Once they go through the first phone time session with me, counseling becomes free to every single one of my clients on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week basis, as long as our phone conversations are between 30 to 45 minutes and no longer, because I still have to have a life myself. But we then keep booking the phone time session work to really work individually to get all of these aspects, if there's demons sewn into them, if there's oversouling. You know, this is very personalized stuff. I can't give one prescription to everybody that is going to be identical. It's impossible for me. I've collected a lot of data, a lot of new data I'd love to share with some of your colleagues that you've actually had on your show, like Eve Lorgan and Laura Leon and some of those really great women. I've got some great data collected on some of my stats through the 14 years I've been doing this. You know, honestly, James, this is my first year I'm charging money. I'm almost scared to charge money. I've always done this for free. So, you know, it's very, very personal here, and I want people to feel their power, that they have the power to remove these demons, to get them off of them, to work. You know, it's not easy at first, but once you get the hang of this stuff, they feel empowered. Their lives change. Their lives manifest for them, and I get the most beautiful changes in people. They got to work this stuff, and it's serious. I might have to send somebody to other groups. You know, sometimes my counseling isn't enough, and I might have to send them into groups where there's other people that are on their same type of level. And you know, it's very, very personalized here, James, extremely personalized.
And it is important that you do charge for your services, because time is money. And it's funny how some people are, where if you provide or someone else provides a given service, and we put our heart and soul into this work, but because said services are given gratis, they're provided free of charge, that person receiving this service, they are free to accept it or reject it as they deem necessary, because they haven't paid anything for it. Therefore, many of them do not ascribe value to it. It's funny how people think and how they operate, whereas if you get paid for something, or rather someone pays for a given service, suddenly they're ascribing a value to it. Maybe they take it more seriously. Maybe they actually start to incorporate some of the teachings and some of the methods that they've been taught, whereas, like I said, some other people will just reject it or just blow it off.
Yeah, and that was something I learned in my own self-healing, you know, doing it free for 13 years. I mean, I always charge for my psychic analysis readings or my psychic soul readings, or, you know, I even do something called I do soul card readings as well. I've always charged for those, even a very small charge for that. But I learned a lesson in myself in doing it free for so many years, because I did have clients that would proverbially call me, you know, consistently call me over and over, and just would, you know, never leave the space that they came. You know, 2 years ago, they were still on the same level, complaining about the same things. And it was very difficult to learn how to detach from them and let these clients go. And it wasn't always an easy detachment. I mean, I tried to make it as easy for these people, but, you know, there was a lot of vengeful spitefulness, because they did take advantage of me, and they were very angry when I had to let them go, not doing the work. You know, I still let clients go if they're not doing the work now. I've obviously learned that lesson of not taking clients that won't do work, but, you know, I kind of fell victim into that over the summer. I was working with some kids from a group, and James, they ran all over me, and I mean, called me night and day, wouldn't even say hello, how are you, wouldn't say thank you. And, you know, I'd ask them what step they were on in the system, in the energy system, and they would say, oh, you know, I haven't done that yet. And, you know, it got to a point where I really just closed the door on so many people. So many clients were let go over the summer, and I began charging. And I started charging only $35, and it just wasn't enough. I love people. I offered my services free for 13 years because I went through this by myself. I was lonely and scared and terrified and depressed and suicidal and just wrecked and ravaged and had nobody to talk to, and I needed somebody to talk to. So the drive alone, I want to choke up. I'm a sensitive girl. I don't want anybody to suffer alone and feel like they have nobody. So that's what drove me to do it free for 13 years. I've never cared about the money. I still don't care about the money, but I do care about clients and students coming to me that will work. And I know that they're working because I'm tough. I'm tough now. I'm a tough teacher. I'm very, very loving, very uplifting, but I make them work.
It becomes an energy exchange. It's not all one-sided. And I've worked with people like that, quite frankly, that you described. Eve Lorgan has a perfect term for them. They're yes-but people. You'll tell them things that, frankly, they really need to hear, and they'll be like, yeah, but.
But, yeah.
And they just, you know, basically they knock it back, and then you're back to square one. There's some kind of shunts or blocks, internal blocks, in their psyche and their energy field, which prevents them from getting to that next step. We're almost at the end of the first hour, Jolene. Can you tell the people listening what your website is and how they can contact you?
All right. My website has been, you know, it's inactive. I got Lyme disease really very terribly. It needs to be reconstructed. There is some couple of false light things on there. I am known as Spiritual Life Journeys, but you can find me on Facebook right now until my website is rebuilt. Jolene Jojo Seebacher. What you do is PM me, private message me, say that you want a phone time session, counseling session, and I will go ahead and explain it from there. Please don't send me your life stories. I get hundreds of messages sometimes. It's very difficult. So on Facebook right now, the website will be released soon enough, re-released.
All right, everybody. You've been listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. In the second hour, I'm going to ask Jolene to talk about what some of the purposes and the dynamics behind some of the ceremonial magic that these elites conduct. I mean, there is actually an art grafted onto a science behind ceremonial magic, and to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So you've been listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we're doing, please go to the Cosmic Switchboard Show at thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next hour.